Hey friends, welcome to the By His Grace podcast. I'm your host, Misty Phillip, and I've got a great show in store for you today. But first, I wanted to tell you about the Spark Now Summit. I am hosting a virtual summit for podcasters and Christian content creators to be encouraged and equipped to stand strong through the remainder of 2020. 2020 has thrown us lots of curveballs. A lot of our plans have been changed or canceled, or just it has not been the year that we've expected. So how can we finish this year strong and also give us a fresh vision for 2021? I am hosting this event November 6th, the week of the election, to give people something else to focus on other than what's happening in the world around us, because y'all, we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And you know what? That's what this episode is all about today. So in life, when troubles come our way, we have a choice. We can be a victim or we can be a victor. And in Romans 8:37, it tells us that we are more than conquerors. And in the New Living Translation, it says, victory is ours through Christ. Well, before we get into today's episode, I wanted to share something with you from the Struggle is Real Bible study. In the chapter entitled Overcoming Sin, it says, the sin in our lives that we fail to conquer will eventually conquer us. That was written by Warren Wiersbe. As Christians, we must continually be on guard. We have a target on our back, and the enemy has us in his crosshairs. We should be quick to identify sin in our life and confess it right away. In Overcoming the World, Grace to Win the Daily Battle, Joel R. Beek says, the path to gain is through pain. The Christian life is a struggle. It demands entrance through a narrow gate and a daily walk along a narrow path. The Christian way is not a middle way between extremes, but a narrow way between two precipices. That's why in Matthew it tells us to enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Y'all, the way to eternal life is narrow because it is only through Jesus Christ. We may gain entrance. There's no other way, not through the universe, Buddha, Allah, or any other man, woman, or way. Jesus is the way. He is the narrow gate. Salvation comes through grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And once we make our way through the narrow gate, we should remain on the narrow path, because life is going to be full of obstacles and detours that will try to take us off the path. 2020 has been a year full of disappointments and trials through Christ, but I'm here to remind you that you are more than an overcomer. Please welcome my guest, Sherilyn Decker, to give you some strategies for overcoming the difficulties in life. Hey friends, today I have Sherilyn Decker with me. Sherilyn is a spiritual director, a speaker, and an entrepreneur, and she and I have a similar heartbeat about the struggles in life and how God gets us through. And she has some amazing things to share with us about the things that God has taught her, and so through the difficulties that she's faced. So Sherilyn, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Misty. I'm so honored to be here and talking with your audience today. Such a treat. Thanks so much.
Yeah. So we're going to jump right into it. You recently experienced a layoff. So I'm just going to let you get into your story, and then I'll ask you some questions along the way.
All right. It started with a phone call, and it was my boss. And he said, I'm sorry, Sherilyn, but your position has been eliminated. And I collapsed in the chair in my office. There were heavy tears that streaked mascara down my face. And I buried my head into my hands and I said, poof, it's gone. That day, all hell broke loose, if I could use that term. And the biggest trial my life, my marriage, my family, I ever faced had just hit. I wondered, now what? How will I get through this? How will we pay the bills? Is it going to be okay? How do I know it's going to be okay? And that day, I was paralyzed by my circumstances, frozen with fear, and filled with those endless questions. That day, I lost a grip on all I was juggling. I lost who I was, and my life and my finances became a hot mess. And I realized in that moment that climbing the corporate ladder was not what my life was about at all, not anymore. It had all changed. And over the next 5 years, everything did change. Where I lived, where I worked, who I hung out with, what I thought about myself, what I believed about God, and even how I prayed, it all changed. And now things are different. Instead of being paralyzed by my circumstances, I'm equipped to face whatever comes my way. And instead of being filled with endless questions, I have answers, or I know where to get them. And instead of being frozen in fear, I have an unshakable faith that nothing can ever rock again.
So what shifted? What shifted? What was the catalyst that that started the turn for you?
Started the turn. It was when the Lord said that I wasn't going back to work the same way. It was when he said that I couldn't apply for the dream job that I wanted. It was when I was faced with the opportunity to kind of say, oh my gosh, this is the job of a lifetime. It has everything that I want. Status, money, horrible commute was not what I wanted at all. And I had to make a choice. And I had to lean in and listen to the Lord. And he said, that's not what I have for you. And he took that trial of me losing my job to be the best thing that ever happened to me, because he taught me how to overcome all of the stuff that came out of that. He taught me how to walk through it. He taught me how to take the chaos that was spinning in my life. And now I can say that being laid off was one of the best things that happened to me.
Yeah. He took what the enemy meant for evil and turned it for good.
And that's right.
And that is one of the things that I think that God loves to do. So tell me a little bit more about how God equipped you in that season.
Yeah. You know, I can't say that it was done in any particular order. I can say that looking back through my journal and sitting back with the Lord and saying, okay, what did I learn from all of this? That something began to come together. And I like to call it, he taught me how to unleash my roar. And if we think of the roar as a lion, it's roaring back at my circumstances. And that's four pieces. He taught me how to respond to my circumstances, how to overcome obstacles, that's the O, apply what I've learned from the past seasons that I'd walked through with him. And then he taught me to share, reveal my story to other people. And that's that last R. Yeah. So let's start with that first R, respond. Because when I was in this place where I had just been laid off, I knew how I wanted to respond. And in some cases I did. I wanted to scream. I wanted to get angry. I wanted to get mouthy and I wanted to get negative, grumbling and complaining. I wanted to be afraid and worried and anxious. And then before I knew it, I was miserable, doubting God and slipping into unbelief. And then he reminds me that proverb tells me the tongue either speaks life or death. And Paul cautions us in Philippians 2:4 to not grumble or complain. But it's so easy to get in that place and get that frustration off of our chest. But those words didn't help my circumstances at all. And then Paul tells us again in Philippians 4:6 to not be anxious. And Jesus tells us not to worry. And we get nervous and we look at what's happening in the world and what's happening to our life and we fear the worst. We see scary outcomes. We wrestle with what if. And so instead of responding out of anger or worry or anxiety, God was challenging me to do something different. He was challenging me to find what the Word of God says. Because when I find His promises and I know what He says about us, about me, about my problems, then something can happen. Because until we find what the Word of God says, we actually speak with no power. It's when we know what the Word of God says that we can begin to declare it. And when we begin to declare it, our circumstances can change. I encourage your audience, when they finish this podcast today, to pull out their Bible and find a promise from God for what they're walking through right now and begin speaking it out loud. And if they don't have a place to start, I can share with them the 5 declarations that I used, that I wrote in this season about family, my work, my finances, my health, my future, because those declarations changed everything for me. They actually gave me power in my prayers and or gave power to my prayers. And they, because in these seasons, sometimes it feels like our prayers are bouncing off the ceilings. Have you felt that way?
Yeah. You know, in my Bible study, I wrote about that very thing. And at the end of each day, I wrote a declaration and it's basically from the Word of God and just declaring that over. So I am in complete agreement with you. The Word is our sword. It is our weapon that God gave us to tear down strongholds and anything that comes up against what is true. And so we have to have that Word in us in order to use that. So I would love for you to share those declarations with us in hopes that maybe one of them will resonate with the audience. And they can take that on as their own declaration.
Absolutely. I'll give make sure you have that link for your show notes.
Yeah. So can you share those with us now?
Yeah. So it'll be my website, which is sherilyndecker.com, and then / I believe it is the one I made for you is By His Grace. So sherilyndecker.com/ By His Grace.
Excellent. Can you share the declarations with us now?
Oh, they're each 5 minutes long. Like it is like a powerful prayer where you can just like absolutely go after the heartbeat of God and come right face to face with your circumstances.
Awesome.
So those will be a powerful resource for you.
Yeah.
For
your I love that. Well, what are some other ways that God helped you through this season?
Yeah. So the O in ROAR stands for overcoming obstacles. And He reminded me of when I was driving in high school and I had hit a pothole that flattened both sides, well, both tires on the same side of the car. And I was going to pick up my sister for something and bring her back to my school for some after school activity or something. And you see, when we can see potholes coming, we know how to avoid them. When we're first learning how to drive, we're taught about hazards like potholes because we want to avoid them. But when it comes to this walk of life, we don't know what to look for. But He promises us that we will see these things coming. In Ephesians 6:16, Paul describes that we can extinguish all the flaming arrows that are coming at us. Flaming arrows were used in the 9th century. So they require the archer to get really close to their target, or the arrows would have burned out as they flew through the air, right? So with what we can remember that we can see these obstacles coming at us, these flaming arrows, if we know what to look for. When we're driving, we know what to look for potholes. In this walk of life, we have to spot the traps. And these traps for all of us are different. Bitterness, offense, unforgiveness, fear, frustration, pride, jealousy, anger, the list goes on and on. Let me tell you about Karen. She was one of my clients in one of my programs, and she was so frustrated with her boss. She felt like he had set her up. He asked her to do something and he didn't get what he wanted. So he was mad, but he sent her the request over text message, Misty. Like he didn't drop by her office. He sent her a very vague text. And if it was so important, she wanted to know why didn't he communicate? And she and I were over video conference, kind of like you and I are right now. And I could see she was really irritated. And so I asked her, where did you get caught? Because that's the deal. The enemy wants to camouflage the trap. He starts to blame other people, the boss. We point out, and then it's points the, he points the finger back at us, and we begin to feel guilt and we begin to feel shame. And in all of that, we don't see how he got into the trap in the first place, because that's the goal. He wants to camouflage it. But if we spot the trap, then when we can see it coming, we can avoid falling for it. And that's what happened for Karen. The next time her boss did the same thing, she recognized it and it could avoid his vague communications and be clear about what he wanted. So it's once we spot those traps in our life, it's once we see those obstacles in our way that we can actually be overcomers. And then when we are faced then, it's about what do we do with them? How do we overcome? And we're faced with the choice. We can choose to be a victim, or we can choose to be victorious. We can choose to let our obstacles bully us with shame and guilt, or we can learn what it has to teach us, learn those lessons so we can hit the pothole once and never hit it again. Or we can sit in the pit that we just dug for ourselves and have a pity party, or we can get a shovel and dig our way out. So we can start right now and decide upfront how we want to respond when these things show up. And then we can begin to think about these obstacles that we're facing and ask ourselves, God, where were the traps that we see in hindsight so that we can avoid falling for them again? And that's when we avoid falling for them again, that's when we become to be an overcomer.
Yeah, that's really good. Because you're right. We all have the same enemy, and that is, you know, the enemy who, and our struggle is sin. And that sin manifests itself in all of these different ways. And Satan does lay a trap for us. And we don't always see it. But when we can open our eyes to it, it can make all the difference in the world. Because I don't know about you, but there have been things that have tripped me up multiple times. And then I go, oh, I see what this is. This is not a person or a thing, because there's a principality that's behind that. That's what the word tells us, that we do not war against flesh and blood. But by seeing where we've fallen before and have been trapped by something, then I can see where we can overcome.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have to be brave enough to look at those things and say, oh, I caught on. I finally made it through my stubborn, you know, as they call the Israelites, stiff-necked people. And we finally got it, so we can avoid spending 40 years in that particular season dealing with those particular struggles.
Yeah. So then tell us the final part of that, which is the R.
So there's two pieces, the A and the R. So the A stands for applying what we've learned from previous seasons. And this comes down to realizing that we can't beat ourselves up over the thoughts and feelings that bubble up, because really our trials should strengthen us. And so if we're dealing with the whispers of things that are not true about ourselves or someone else, it gets us to doubt. It gets to wonder. It gets us to believe the lie. But we can take those thoughts captive that have plagued us before, and we can filter them and stay on whatever is true. It means we have a choice and we have control over what we think, what we feel, and we can filter them out, because sometimes they lie, and we can filter them and place them up against what the Word of God says, against what we know to be true. There was a client that I was working with, and he was telling me how he was hurt and offended. And so the tip that I gave him, which I'll give to your audience, is one statement, wrong address. Just like mail that's delivered to the wrong house, we don't have to accept the mail that isn't ours. We can choose to not let it in. So when he said wrong address, it allowed him to approach things differently. And what was once allowed to offend him, what was once no longer had any power over him. There's someone else that I know who recognized a pattern of lying thoughts and feelings and beliefs, but she didn't do the work. So we have a choice. We can recognize the false thoughts and beliefs and choose to do something different, like Stephen, or we can choose to do nothing. We have a choice. It all comes down to, what are we going to do with the story? What are we going to do with the lessons that we have learned? And for him, the lesson was, oh, look here, in this situation, I get easily hurt and offended. But if I can say wrong address and realize this doesn't have to affect me, then that begins to destroy the lie, because we've confronted it, and replace it with the truth. So that's the A part.
That's keeping our heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. So we have to safeguard our souls when we see those attacks coming in. And then the R?
Yeah, the last R is revealing our story with others. And that's what you have so beautifully in this podcast, because we don't realize that when we triumph over our trials, our story says it's possible. And if it happened for you, and if it happened for me, then it can happen for someone else, because our stories are there to help other people find their breakthrough. And if we can do that, if our stories can do that, then we have a responsibility to share it. Because sometimes we've seen in a movie, and we can replay that whole entire thing just by thinking about it. Well, that happens because brain science tells us that those stories create a library and video memory in people's brain. And so our testimonies do the same thing. So when something happens to you and you share your story with me, then that creates a memory in my brain. And so there's inside of my brain are going to be several stories of Aunt so-and-so who I swore I would never be like. There'd be stories of, you know, your powerful stories of turning your struggle into a source of strength. And then there'll be, you know, the testimonies that I have from what I've walked through in the past. And these things create video memories in people's brains. So the people who are listening to your podcast are collecting all of these stories. So when they walk through something, they can be like, where have I seen something like this? And they can recall the memory and be like, I want to walk through that like Sherilyn. I want to walk through that like Misty. I want to walk through that like Stephen or Karen or whoever. And then that's when breakthrough begins to happen, is because we're beginning to stand on the stories of other people and say, hey, God, do that again.
Yeah, I think that's why the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's by sharing our story that we can give God glory and other people can learn from where he's taken us through. So I love that. That's absolutely beautiful. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And you said again that Sherilyn Decker / By His Grace, and we will have that in the show notes so that people can find those powerful prayer declarations. So I look forward to sharing those with them. I'll give you the last word and we'll close things out.
Yeah, I'll leave you with this. When I opened my talk, I told you about my layoff. 1 year later, when my husband and I moved to Colorado, we were determined to do things different, to live on just his income. And then his pay was cut. But what froze us before did not freeze us again. And instead of chaos, I felt peace. Instead of collapsing in my chair in a puddle of tears, I actually laid on the couch and I took a nap. Because we'd learned from our trial once. We had broken through and we knew it would happen again. And it did. I'm with you today because I'm an overcomer. And the ROAR framework that God taught me works. I've turned my trials into my triumph and my source of strength. And I encourage your audience to take the journey and do it with theirs too.
So good. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. So glad to be here.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Philip, and I would love to connect with you there.